Good morning.
Morning, Ian.
Welcome to Worship at the Vines today. We're grateful for the air conditioning.
For sure.
Especially yesterday, tomorrow and Tuesday. And today, I hope you all will recover and get ready for the next couple of days as well. My name's Ian. I'm part of the team leading worship today. And thank you to those here and up there who have got here early to practice, and it'll all be okay, I am sure. I'm pleased to see that some of you have already got a cuppa for you. Now, because it is a bit hot, too hot to jump up and down too much, we're going to remain seated for most of the singing. So don't feel, but if you want to get up and go and get a coffee or a tea, please feel free to do that at any stage.
As long as you come back in again afterwards.
But, get up and go and get it and bring it back. And you can have another cuppa after the service as well.
Wow.
But let's begin with a song with a bit of an Australian flavour. And it's called Where Wide Skies Roll Down. Alive among all things of creation. The sounds of the rivers in motion, the waves of the seas, the scents of the gum trees and native flowers on the winds. You made the earth to give us life and daily sustenance. And as we walk on the land, we find a place to retreat and walk alongside you in whispering conversation. Today we come together and we bring our full voices to lift them in praise to our triune God. And we ask for forgiveness for not always being the givers of love and hospitality. And as we look to have our hearts made clean, we say together, Lord, our Father of unconditional love, we come in repentance and hope. Jesus, Son of guiding and teaching love, we come to listen, learn and act with courage. Holy Spirit of multiplying love, we come with humble awe and wonder of what you might move within our hearts and the hearts of those with whom we share life. Today, as we gather to worship, we acknowledge the Kaurna people as the firstborn peoples of these lands, and we acknowledge that through their continuing care of God's creation, God and his Holy Spirit have been a source of spiritual sustenance and strength for First Peoples of this country. And so we sing our next song. Friends, today we are remembering in strength that comes from fellowship the hurtful and saddening history of our nature and the violent acts that resulted in dispossession and disconnection which were perpetrated on First Peoples of this land. We also remember the violence inflicted on people at Bondi last month and the deaths of those 15 people who gathered peacefully for worship. We also remember the impact that we feel of harsh words and violent acts that we have seen or encountered in our own lives. And we recognise our need for forgiveness. And so we come together today under God to mourn and lament the darkness and suffering of our history and to prayerfully welcome into our lives the healing light of the hope we have in Jesus. It is a light that runs through all of us to shine a pathway for us to journey together. On each of the tables today, there are some small stones, and I invite you to each pick one up. As I pass them to these folk.
I'll get them.
These stones are not for you to throw at each other or anybody else. They're just to be hurled. for you to feel the weight of them and to be there as something that represents the acts of violence and the hurtful words that have affected each of us. So today, let these stones cry out to the God of truth, justice, and love. And as we hold these stones in our hands, may God's unending peace be with you. Let's sing our next song. Notices are these. First, there's a congregational meeting to vote on whether the Vines congregation approves the call to Reverend Shelley Alexander to serve as 0.5 full-time equivalent minister of the word here. And here's an introduction to... Secondly, Creative Connection Craft Enrolment Day is this coming Thursday, for beginning next week, for those that have sort of forgotten when that might be. Is there anything else we need to say? The meeting is next Sunday. Yes, the congregation meeting is next Sunday. So let's just have a little intro to... Yes, please, to Shelley. We'll put it up after the service as well. Okay. And now, Jackie's going to come and share something with us. What are you going to speak about, Jackie?
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to talk to you this morning about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Forgive one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." Also in Matthew 18:22, Peter asks Jesus, "How many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sin against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus tells Peter, "Not seven times, but 70 times seven. 77 times." The response from Jesus went far beyond what Peter thought was a generous offer. Jesus said to show forgiveness is a reflection of God's own infinite mercy. I firmly believe that forgiveness is not easy for some. For some, it's near impossible. I read somewhere a while ago, it's not always dependent on feelings, but rather a conscious choice to release the wrongdoer from the debt of their offence or offences. Forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation. I think we can forgive without immediately restoring a relationship. Reconciliation can certainly be a process that can require forgiveness, repentance, and a willingness from both parties to rebuild trust. Not always possible. Mine is just that situation. Reconciliation is not possible and may not even be advisable. When my mother died at just 64 years of age, she left behind a man who was very difficult. He was certainly difficult for me to cope with. My father found it very hard to show love and affection. But after Mum passed, here I was having to help him with his needs, but not so. My story involves a woman, same age as me. She met my father when he was at his lowest ebb. That's lovely, I hear you say, some companionship for him, but you couldn't be farther from the truth. This woman was bad to the core. Everything she did was manipulatory, and the intent was to steal, use, and hurt. Everything she did was calculated and evil. She cajoled my father, lifting him from his depression with only her self-gain in her mind. Long story short, she made my relationship with my father near impossible. He would listen to her, berate me. It was an extremely difficult time. Well, eventually she'd spent $80,000 approximately. He had very little left. She took off at this point, no money left, leaving a broken man and a broken relationship between he and I. And he died sadly with debts. Now, if you watch the TV news, you've probably heard of this woman. She went on to murder one of her next victims. He was her last victim, as she's currently serving a life sentence in prison. God has helped me to forgive my father and this woman. It's not been easy, but I needed to make this commitment. Forgiving someone means we have the chance to let go of grudges, improve our own health and peace of mind, a life with less stress and hostility. There are so many awful things we hear in today's world. Some of you may have heard of Danny and Leela Abdallah. Three of their children and a cousin who lost a daughter, a tragic car accident in 2020, all struck by a car driven by a 29-year-old man. Danny and his wife have chosen the path of forgiveness. They're now even involved with the young man, Samuel, and his parents. Their enormous loss and grief has been replaced with forgiveness. It's an incredible story. And it is hard, very, very hard. But I think and I feel if we can let go, we can move forward. Thank you for listening to this. May I finish with the Lord's Prayer, if you will join me, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
I wonder if Jackie's story resonated with any of you. Or is there anybody with whom it didn't? Here's a bit of personal thinking time so you can think about a situation which involves you in either giving forgiveness to another or others or receiving it from another person. Can you each think of a situation or a person or a relationship that relates to forgiveness? Today's theme of forgiveness and our need to both receive it and to offer it also to others is common to all of us. It's also today, the Sunday before the 26th of January, which the Uniting Church has designated as a day of mourning. This day, today, provides an opportunity to reflect on the dispossession and injustices experienced by Australia's First Peoples, to acknowledge our shared history, and to renew our commitment to justice and healing. And because none of us is perfect, we all feel the pain that others may inflict upon us. And if we're honest, we all know that we have at times hurt others. And it doesn't matter that some of those pains may be trivial or it may be major. It might be the pain of words, the constant belittling put downs that chip away at our confidence. Or it might be the pain of violent acts like murder, or a car crash, or indeed what took place in Bondi a few weeks ago. The point is, if we experience the pain, or if we intend another person to be hurt, then forgiveness is necessary. And so we are going to come to a time of confession, a prayer for the journey of healing. So let us pray. O God, your love is wider than our differences. It's larger than our loneliness. It's stronger than our sorrows. And at times, we may doubt that we are able to overcome hostilities that we feel towards others or have felt towards us. And yet you invite us to experience that through surrender and obedience to your great and reconciling love. We can see more clearly the beautiful picture of your gift of a wondrous creation. We're reminded of the words of Paul to the church in Rome, calling us to peace and hope through faith, grace, and perseverance, when he said, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." O God, we know the work of reconciliation is not simple. It requires people who may feel suffering through dispute to look at each other as we would look to reconciling with our God. and to see the joy of working to live amongst each other in peace, in a creation made for us. Peace given from you, God, and with you, God, and in you, God. So help us to reckon with the challenge that reconciliation between first and second peoples must begin with reconciling ourselves in truth and humility with you, our God. And then we can do the work of being peacemakers and justice seekers in understanding what we may know, need to know better to be able to act responsibly and respectfully. O God, our hope for the coming season of faith in our church is that we look towards each other as peoples of God who wish to be supported to live freely in enjoying the giving of spiritual care for each other through wonder and worship. And we bring our truth-telling, our lament, and our confessions to you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, who bore our sins and is the great reconciler. Amen. Water for First Peoples is always a sign of God's peace and fulfilment in everything that is good, such as the waters of Dalhousie Springs, the promise of food, of harmony with ourselves, and the creation around us. For at the very beginning, our Creator God blessed the waters, and God's great gift to us, and renewed in this water here today. God, who hovered over the waters, invites us to come to the water, to drop our heavy burdens of lament and confession. So hear then the words of Christ's forgiveness to us all. Your sins are forgiven, and you are cleansed and made new again. So go now and live as my reconciled people. In the name of Christ, amen. And so then, next slide. Let's take the heavy stones that we are carrying. And drop them into the water of healing and life. They represent our guilt, our sins, our burdens of life. And we place them into these bowls of water, which symbolise the waters of baptism and cleansing, of forgiveness and life. Let's pause for a moment of reflection.
chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Saviour, has ransomed me.
Everybody. We've got three readings today from 2 Chronicles, Isaiah and Matthew. The first reading is 2 Chronicles, verses 7 to 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal the land, their land. Next one is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Nevertheless, there will be, and next reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, sorry. Nevertheless, there will be no gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee by the nations, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The next one is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 2 and verses 14 to 16. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. You are the light of the world. A town built on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that we may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The next one, last reading, is Matthew chapter 6, 14 to 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I might want to go down for this discussion. What we're going to do now is to... And one of the reasons why we're sitting around the tables is that it makes it a bit easier for you to talk with others in a small group without you having to be heard by all of us. And in the process of having lots of, a dozen different conversations means that we don't hear any conversation other than the one at the table you're at. And that's important because you might not want everyone to hear what you say. But whatever you say, it's up to you. Now, I'd like to invite you to answer a question around your tables. And the question is this: which is easier, to forgive another person or to forgive yourself? Which is easier, to forgive another person or to forgive yourself? Thank you for your animated discussions.
Which you're about to stop. You're about to stop your animated discussion.
Which I'm just interrupting now. Feel free to continue those discussions a bit later. But for now, we're going to sing another song, which is called In Christ Alone. This is our offering song. And so during this, the fourth verse, when the fourth verse comes along, then I invite you to stand for that as a sense of offering of ourselves to Christ, in Christ alone. Okay.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, for truth is a strong and soul. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comfort,
giving God, we bring ourselves and our gifts to you. Bless them, we pray, so they may bring hope and help to those in need. Help us to give of our time and talents and the gifts you have given each of us, so that this land and this planet may be left in better condition than when we arrived. Help us to be the light and the hope and the help that will transform all the needs that we see around us. May our light shine before others, that they may glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. Words are powerful. Those of you who have been here regularly over the last 5 years or so may have already heard me speak about forgiveness like this. Many years ago, on a December evening, I think it was the 10th, I was 11 years old, and I was asked by my parents to do something, and I didn't want to do it, and I can't remember what it was now, but probably something like feed the dogs or do my homework. And I refused, and I left the house, and I walked over to the shearing shed about 50 metres away, and there I decided to hide out. The sun was setting and it was getting a bit dark, but I didn't want to turn on the lights, the 240 volt lights, because then it would be obvious where I was. Now, our family always went to church each Sunday. So I had had 11 years of Bible stories, including stories about lighting lamps and keeping, you know, give me oil in my lamp, keep them burning. And so I decided to make myself a lamp. Not quite like that, but a bit like those that were used in Jesus' day. And after all, there were plenty of useful bits that I could use already in the shearing shed. And so I got a small, shallow, empty tin. It was normally used to put a bit of water in and to soak the combs and cutters that the shearers used. And I filled it with some light oil out of an oil can that was used to lubricate the shearing equipment, the handpiece. And then I found some old bits of cotton rag that was used to wipe up any messes in the shed. And I thought, that will make a fine wick if I tear a thin strip off and lay it in the oil in the tin. And then I needed something to light the wick. And I knew that under the seat of the harvesting machine, the header, that was sitting in the paddock about 100 yards out in the paddock from the shed, then I would find a box of matches. They were there just in case Dad needed to start a fire and he had to jump off the header, which wasn't hard to do, and light a bit of a fire break to stop the header getting burnt. You might burn the crop, but didn't want the header burnt. And so back to the shed I went, tried to light my biblical lamp wick, and it didn't work. The strip of cotton just smouldered, but didn't give off any sort of flame. And eventually I gave up, and I put everything away, although my bit of cotton waste wick I dropped out the window, and the rest of the cotton I screwed up and left in the shed under the grinder, and reluctantly went back to the farmhouse, accepted my inevitable punishment, and went to bed. And some hours later, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I was woken by my father shaking me and saying, "Now see what you've done, you've burnt the shearing shed down." And sure enough, when I had a quick look, I sat up and looked out the window behind my bed, I could see the flames coming from the shearing shed through the almond trees and hear the noises of water pumps and people's voices shouting, working unsuccessfully to put the fire out. And I stuck my head under the pillow and cried myself back to sleep. I knew that I hadn't meant to burn the shed down, but I had to go into the police station with Dad the next day and explain what had happened. And Dad had to buy a new shed. It's not so new when I took that photo. But it cost him, I think it was £1,100 and something or other pounds in 1960, whatever it was. Much more now. That was just a kit. He had to build it. Dad built that shed with the help of some neighbours, in time for the shearing the next August. And for many years, several decades in fact, I felt really bad about what had happened. I'd had a lot of guilt. And then when I was at theological college, I finally worked up the courage to say to my dad, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry the shearing shed burnt down. It wasn't intentional. It was probably spontaneous combustion of the oily rags that really was what happened. But can you please forgive me?" And Dad said, "Oh, I forgave you years ago, Ian. Besides, we got a new and much better shearing shed as a result. Don't worry about it." And I'd had nearly 30 years of guilt worrying me. And while Dad might have forgiven me years earlier, I still needed to hear him say, "I forgive you." Of course, the real forgiveness is from God. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confession really is good for our soul. But hearing a person say to us, "I forgive you," is not always possible. Sometimes it's not possible because the person we need to hear forgiveness from has died or has moved away somewhere. Or sometimes we have to live with the burden of our guilt forever. And sometimes the problem is with us. When we need to forgive another person, and that's not possible. I must confess that there are times when I've said stuff about another person that have been unkind and hurtful. And I just have to leave it with God because it's no longer possible for me to go and find them and tell them to say I'm sorry. And the verses that we heard from 2 Chronicles and from Isaiah are a reminder that God does indeed forgive us. And forgiveness is good news. It sheds great light on the world's problems. You know, when people see the great light of Jesus and we are set free to let our light shine in the world around us. And sometimes, as you may have discovered in that previous little time of discussion, it's harder to forgive ourselves than it is to forgive the other person. And what I'm pleased about is that my silly, bad, unkind, nasty stuff is no longer waiting to trip me up. My faith in the risen Christ means that I can make my confession to God and know that in Jesus, because of his resurrection, the power of sin and death and guilt has already been defeated. There is hope for all of us who place our trust in Jesus, in the cross of Christ. For our forgiveness doesn't depend on us doing a whole lot of good works or jumping through a heap of heavenly hoops. Yes, we can do good works, and I hope we all do them. But they're not what puts us right with God. It's our faith in the risen Christ that matters. And there's one more thing. Do you remember those biblical stories that Jesus told about someone who was forgiven much but refused to forgive someone who owed him a small amount? Jackie alluded to in what she said. "How often should I forgive?" said Peter. "Seven times?" No, the Jewish law said three. Peter thought he was going way beyond it by saying seven. And Jesus said, and the Greek is a bit confusing, is it either 70 times 7 or is it 77 times 7? It's not necessary for us to admit our guilt when we realise that we have done the wrong thing. But it's also necessary
for us to forgive those who may have hurt us. And they may never know that we've forgiven them. They may never know that they've hurt us. But it's vital for our soul that we forgive them. Remember, as it says in Colossians 3:13, that one's not there. As the Lord has forgiven you, there it is, so you also must forgive. Sometimes we must forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive without limit. And if you think that about the situation that Jackie spoke of earlier, it was essential that she had a talk with God about that stuff. And having had that difficult conversation with God, God's love and grace has allowed Jackie to lay that burden down and to go on with her life. Now, those sorts of what can be termed fierce conversations are never easy, but they're necessary. And I pray that each of us who need to have a fierce conversation with God like that, may we be confident enough to do it. Now, I wonder what you'll take home from today. Will you think about that difficult situation that's been hanging over you and hand the burden of worry and guilt over to God? Will you trust the Holy Spirit to give you the courage to begin your journey towards healing, even when reconciliation isn't possible? Or perhaps will you speak confidentially with a trusted friend who can pray with you and support you while you begin that journey towards healing? What will you take home from today? What will you do? It's time for our prayers for ourselves and others, so let us pray. Loving God, we pray today for all people who are burdened with guilt and anger, and ask that they may see signs of hope and peace and know the grace of forgiveness. Today we pray especially for those for whom tomorrow is a time of sorrow and not a joyful celebration. We turn to you in prayer as we commit ourselves to journeying together in the spirit of faith. Father, you are good. Lord, fill our hearts with love and compassion. We pray for all leaders in this great southern land, that they may respect and accept First Nations people, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander heritage, and provide faith, truth, justice, peace, unity and equity for all. Father, you are good. Lord, fill our hearts with love and compassion. We ask for your guidance for all the youth on their life's journey, that they come to seek and know you and trust in your love and compassion. Father, you are good. Lord, fill our hearts with love and compassion. We pray for all those who lead us locally, those who are sick, the dying, the imprisoned, those who are lost and suffering. We ask for your protection, healing, and mercy for all. Father, you are good. Lord, fill our hearts with love and compassion. Lord, thank you for your mercy, which covers all our sins, and for the love which you wash over us. Please help us to be strong in faith and to love everyone as you taught us. Father, you are good. Lord, fill our hearts with love and compassion. Let us take a moment's silence as we pray for our personal needs and those of our loved ones. Father, you are good. Lord, fill our hearts with love and compassion. God, our loving Father, you reveal your care and compassion to us through the life, words, and deeds of your Son, Jesus. Grant us the gift of your compassion so that all peoples may enjoy your promise of peace. With humble hearts, we make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we sing.
What a friend.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
I was listening when you said the notices, but did we say Friday Friends on Friday?
Oh, we didn't say Friday Friends on Friday.
Let's say Friday Friends on Friday.
Friday Friends on Friday.
Friday Friends on Friday.
Right, Friday Friends on Friday?
Yep.
Go.
To live out the covenant which we have entered with each other. Confront and challenge injustice wherever you see it. Act justly yourselves and insist that others do the same. Rejoice in the richness of our diverse cultures and learn from them. Celebrate and demonstrate the unity we share in Jesus our Lord. And commit to worship, witness, and serve
as one people under God. And the blessing. May the God of all wonder, who set the stars in the sky, bless you with relentless unsettledness that drives you to seek out truth. May the God of all justice, who gave motion to the rivers, bless you with righteous anger that drives you to seek freedom for all. And may the God of all love, who placed laughter in the kookaburra, bless you with the friendship that looks like the love where one lays down their life for another. And may the God of all comfort, who determined the height of the mountains, bless you with tears from shared pain and mourning that shows you hope. And now with wonder, righteous anger, sacrifice and lament, go with God in truth, justice, love and hope, to change the heart of Australia. Because...